It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. We have a sunny morning, and the weather is not going to change at all, basically, in between now and Tuesday night.
We're making maple syrup. We're tapping and sapping.
Can it get warmer?
Well, the great thing about this weather for the ski area is at least they can make tons of snow at night, and it doesn't melt during the day because the temperature is close enough to freezing.
Right.
So
it's just perfect for that.
Yeah,
it's great.
And then you go out, and you're not totally – you don't have your face abraded completely by wind and –
We will go to the front page, and it's funny. I spoke to Mark Herko earlier this week. I thought it was going to be like an 8 or 9 minute interview, and it wound up being 16 to 18 minutes. He's a pretty interesting guy, a pretty interesting background, and you've got a story right there on the front page on him meeting Maria Horn.
Sharon Hospital had a nice event at Monty's in Amenia. A lot of fun people there. And Mark Herko is there. Janet and I had gone to his office and met him and interviewed him, did a profile a few weeks ago. And he's fun to talk to. He's got a lot of interest. But I would say most important is he gets that Sharon Hospital damaged its really beautiful connection to the community. And he wants to rebuild that. And I think that's really important. So members of the public were invited in. Members of the board were there. Maria Horn, who'd never met him, was there, and they had a really nice chat. And while Maria was there, whenever we see her, we try to grab her and get an update on the legislative session, which has been going fast and furious. She's on, I think, 5 subcommittees. So she's said, you know, they don't give you time to look at the budget in these short sessions as we're having here in 2020. They just throw a bunch of numbers at you, and you have to think fast. So we'll keep getting updates as we see her.
All right. And right below that, the meeting is tonight. There's a town meeting in Canaan Falls Village.
Canaan Falls Village.
The main part of it is basically selling the water company to Aquarian.
People are very anxious about this. And there's a similar conversation going on in New Hartford where one of the selectmen is very opposed to it. There's a lot of logical reasons why it makes sense for Aquarian to buy some of these smaller water companies. So I had called Aquarian. They were very open and transparent and ready to chat. And they are not, in fact, buying up every small water company in the state. But they actually had found they'd been approached by Falls Village. And I think it was Carl Munson who works for the water company and is an active Falls Village resident. And the water company is small. It's run by volunteers. They're about to increase the regulations for the water quality. And the equipment is ailing and failing in Falls Village. And as the men from Aquarian who I interviewed said, for us to fix the Falls Village water system is a very small expense. For the town of Falls Village, it's a huge expense. In New Hartford, what they had said was, well, you know, they're going to fix it and then they're going to charge us for it. So the water rates are regulated by the state. They won't stay low infinitely, but at a certain point, if you don't fix that equipment, you're not going to have water, and it's going to be like Mira, which is also on this page, and the trash. You have to fix these things when they're breaking.
It's the old, I remember the Fram commercial. It's either pay me now or pay me later.
Pay me more later.
It
never costs less to do capital maintenance.
And to own and operate a water company for a small town like Falls Village can turn into an outrageous expense.
Right,
it really
and really taxes the expertise of volunteers. So Dusty Blass, on the other hand, very opposed to it in Falls Village, came by the office trying to get people to come out and vote against it. His concern is you give up control of anything that is important to you, and you just don't know what's going to happen down the line.
I understand that reasoning, too.
It's
a great thing about town meetings. Taxpayers decide.
That's right.
Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen put it together and put it to the taxpayers, and the taxpayers decide. Tell me a story, Cynthia.
I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story about 5 of the 6 elementary schools in the region had their read-aloud day last week. Kent is delaying it until March 6th because they had their chocolate fest this week. The Cornwall photos we did not run in this week's paper. We will run them in next week's paper. But always a really adorable, wonderful event. Children love to be read to, and Read Aloud Day is designed to bring members of the community in and read aloud. And North Canaan Elementary School in particular has a great program where they really remind parents it's very important for your children to spend that quality time with you and hear your voice telling them a story. They love it.
All right. And you've got a story that Patrick Sullivan did, and I was talking to Cynthia before we got on the air. The ABC Group really has delayed a decision on the remote. How simple can this be? Just have the ABC committee ask each town that wants to participate, draw up number of students that want to participate, then bring that back, and you'll end up coming up with the busing costs and everything like that. And if any other town wants to participate, well, once you've figured out the per pupil dollar amount, guess what? That then if they want somebody from their town to participate, that's what they have to do.
Well, it all sounds too simple, but Patrick does describe what they talked about and what came out of it. And, you know, these things can be more complicated than they seem. Certainly this time they are, but doesn't mean they won't come to that conclusion at the end, but everybody has to agree.
Yeah, it is. It's an issue that has wound itself up very tightly into a lot of knots.
All right. And speaking about a lot of knots in the stomach of people in Salisbury and Sharon, because it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but your cost to get rid of your trash and recycling is going to go way up.
And this is not just Salisbury and Sharon. It's every town in the state.
Yeah, but it really hits those people right in the face, though.
Yeah, but you'll see as you go through the paper in the next week or so, every town has been meeting and having this conversation where the MIRA, which is the state's trash facility, is as discussed. You know, the maintenance has been delayed and millions of dollars need to be poured into it. And they're finally saying, listen, we got to fix this stuff. We need you to guarantee that you're going to stay with us. I don't know where they think that we're going to, like, where these towns are going to send their trash if they don't send it through MIRA. But they're saying $95 a ton going up to $145 a ton. That's a lot. But, you know, we got to get rid of our trash. And the more that we can all recycle and compost and buy less stuff, the better.
Well,
the better off we'll
this
be.
Goes along with the aquarium story. I mean, there's some prohibitive costs out there that when you have technology that's 30 years old,
you got to update it.
You got to update it. You just have to do it as a state and as a town even. A story that surprised me, and maybe it's rumor, maybe it's not, but the meetings on the future of St. Martin of Tours Parish, I mean.
It is a little rumory, and generally I would say we don't pick up on rumors, but this one seems pretty far advanced. I know that people have been commenting, they've been calling the church about trying to schedule events and have been said, we're not really quite sure what's happening 6 months, let's not make a plan yet. So Lila Hawken did call up the diocese and got a sort of a vague answer, but they didn't say, no, that's not happening. They said, yeah, we're discussing it. So the question is whether of the St. Martin of Tours Parish, if they close down St. Joseph or St. Mary or the church up in Norfolk, I think it's Immaculate Conception, which one is going to be closed and sold.
Oof. All right. On a lighter note, Patrick Sullivan with the story, A Defense of the Wolves.
And not really light to Sue Morse, who feels very strongly about wolves being misunderstood and mistreated. And when she talks about people hunting wolves and trying to exterminate them, she calls it persecution. And so she talks a lot. It's like when people talk to you about sharks and they say sharks are actually not the aggressive monsters that you see in many movies. That's the same kind of conversation she's having about the wolves. And she did a tracking class on the day after her talk, which was on Valentine's Day. And we have an article by Lance Christensen coming up in, I believe, this week's paper, depending on our space.
Back in 1986 and 87, Marshall Case was the head of the Audubon. Mm-hmm. And he brought a couple of wolves in a couple of times to the station. Mm-hmm. When you talk about wolves, just amazing. Absolutely amazing, the size of them. And guess what? One of them was a male. So guess what the male did when he came in the station?
What?
He marked his territory.
Oh, great.
He, right away. It was, you know, okay, this is my territory. But still, just seeing them up close. So I like. She did the thing on bears about a month ago, didn't she?
I can't remember, but I know she's been here and she's super popular. So I guess there were no cats here on that day?
No, there were no animals back then. This was, the Warren Gregory owned it back then. There were no animals except for me.
Yeah.
All right. Girl Scout cookies have arrived.
Tilly Strauss, who is, for those of you who are birders, she is the granddaughter of Trixie Strauss, for whom the annual Trixie Strauss bird count is named, and does these wonderful little illustrations. And we're having just the best time with her. And so, do you hear all the sirens? I want to turn on my scanner, but I can't. she did all these cute little illustrations of Girl Scout cookies, and we have a listing of where you'll be able to buy your cookies. It used to be the girls would go door to door. They're not allowed to anymore, but you can buy them usually people who have a Girl Scout in their family will bring a sign-up sheet to their office. They often have the sign-up sheets at On the Run in Lakeville, and we have two stores listed in that article where you can buy your cookies.
And a nice little reminder about the student recital coming up at 3 o'clock on Sunday at the Salisbury Congregational Church, which is free and open to the public.
A long tradition, and my daughter was in it, as was Janet's, when they were little ballerinas, and I believe there will be jazz music, and there will be classical music and singing, and it's always a good time.
See, your daughter was in it. One of my ex-wives was in it. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Let's go from there.
One of my ex-wives.
One of my ex-wives. That's right.
The most talented.
Well, yeah, I guess so. We can move on to the other page, and this is it's funny, the story, I read it about her, about this person being named advertising. At the same meeting, my brother's daughter, Ashley Miles, was named as one of the future.
How exciting!
Yes, so I looked at the story and I said, "Wow, that's where she went." And her boyfriend was going to go, not wearing a tux. And my brother said, "You wear a tux."
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
great.
We saw the pictures of it. It was a beautiful, very dressy event. It was very Academy Awards. So Nina DeCesa, who is our neighbor, my neighbor over in Lakeville, and. Of course, everybody knows what used to be called the Virginia Rosen House, even though that was two or three owners ago, where people had come down that hill in Lakeville, and the paving wasn't quite gripped right. So we know Brian Goodall, Nina's husband, and Nina also, because Brian is this very practical, sensible guy and got the state to groove the pavement on a poorly banked curve. And he called us up and said his wife had been named to the Advertising Hall of Fame and got to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. So I went over and they made me lunch. I had the best time with them. I just completely love them. Oh. And you'll read the article and find out why.
All right. And you've got, of course, FFA Week starts, I do believe, the 22nd. It runs all next week.
That's right, 22nd through the 29th. Great week to think about the FFA program, and certainly at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, we have such an active program, so great for the students who take part in it and the community members who benefit from their projects and seeing what they do. So take a look at the advertisers who support them and support those advertisers.
And the color pictures from Kent about the chocolate night and back in the stacks.
Yes, they renovated the Kent Memorial Library quickly and efficiently. They benefited from being able to use some space at the Kent Green, and they're back in now. They have updated their systems and done capital maintenance, which is the theme of today's program. But also the Chocolate Fest, enormously popular, lines out the door as always, and restaurants and businesses participate and give chocolate treats, but largely home-baked, and the kids love it, and so do the adults.
All right. I want to go to the next page because the story, this also got my attention very quickly because I know Harper Blanchett. Harper has been having his studio in Falls Village, and that is going to be replaced by a farm market that's coming in.
Yeah. You know, a lot of complicated issues on this page, the Sharon Falls Village page, and here's one in Falls Village. Harper Blanchett has been renting what used to be the town hall. Back when I was a girl and I was reporting on Falls Village, that's where we would have meetings until they moved across the street to the building donated to the town by National Iron Bank. And so they have had various artists living in there. Michael Clemens, the turtle expert, was living in there at one point with his turtles. Clifton Yeager was living there at one point and doing his beautiful mural work there. And so Harper's been working there. And the sense is... Well, you know what? I'm not even going to try and guess what the sense was. But so they've asked Harper to leave. I think they're negotiating on his the end date for his tenancy. One of the chairman of our board, Dale McDonald, who had started Plantin' Seeds as a nonprofit, is working with them, and they're looking to create a farm market and to not just have farm goods, because of course, as we know, the growing season is not that long here, but to also have basics so that people can come in and buy. You know, stuff from Le Bon's even is talking to them. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. And I want to go down to the other story down below out of Sharon, the contractors, because that meeting, the last meeting, got a little out of control.
Quite feisty.
And it's almost like the Democratic debate.
Yeah, a lot of
But there were some legitimate concerns. I just think emotions got the better of some of the guys. Because they're legitimate concerns.
Yeah, legitimate concerns on both sides. One of those situations where it's hard to say you're wrong and he's right, but... In an emergency situation, the town hall here in Sharon will often call their most familiar contractor who they know have the equipment and will do it fast and will do it well. And some other smaller companies in town have said, hey, this is being paid for with taxpayer dollars. You need to share it more. So they have to figure out the process of doing that in a way that doesn't leave people trapped in their houses when the road's closed.
Yeah, and maybe it wind up like the state police do, which I've mentioned earlier this week, is that there's a rotating basis that is followed. All the contractors sign up, they prove they can get the job done, then they go into a rotating basis. I mean, there's a lot of answers to it. And the good thing about it is local people are interested in it. Yeah. That's great.
And local people have businesses, which is also great.
All right. And no surprise, the boarding house decision in North Canaan delayed once again.
And unexpectedly complicated again, and lots of subtle details. The boarding house decision is like the Blight decision in that there's a lot of unexpected consequences that come if they set up this regulation. And the thinking was they're trying to eliminate people from out of town coming in, buying up houses cheap, slapping up a lot of drywall, and putting a lot of recent graduates of some of the rehab programs here in, and leaving them unsupervised with other people who are also recent graduates of the rehab programs. But it's got a lot of consequences that impact other people in town in a negative way. So this is the second meeting. I think it's been a year. A lot of people turned out. A lot of people wrote letters. A lot of struggle in clarifying this issue.
All right. On to the Viewpoint page, where you go from Ralph Nader, Chris Powell, and then what a dreadful way to pick a president.
Yeah, then that's Dick Aulis, if you couldn't guess. And how can you not read that column? It's fascinating, and he pulls out a lot of statistics for us to back up his opinion on it, and especially after last night's debate, it's fascinating.
And you have to really look into the Steiner column, and then you'll go, aha, okay.
That's right. And that sometimes happens with visuals. So, yeah, give Peter Steiner's cartoon a careful look and read Ralph Nader talking about Donald Trump exploding and Chris Powell talking about state Democrats failing at relevance and the DCF performing a miracle. So, and that is really uplifting. So do give Chris a read this week. We also have Mark Godburn on Nancy Pelosi leading her troops on a tear, and a couple of letters and a really a heartwarming one from Hannah Pooler on her crossing guard at Salisbury Central School retiring. So do read that, and the tribute to how important a crossing guard can be to school children. This is Pam Sands, who was a crossing guard for years, and Hannah just describes how important that was for her.
17 years.
Yeah.
Here's the sad thing. Every morning.
I remember when she started.
As I was going to say, I remember when she took over from the person who was there for forever.
Forever. One of the Maury. Was it Buzzy Maury?
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
And I think she would, you know, had the way Hannah describes it. Yeah, I'll say Pam had fun with that. And, you know, when she describes how wonderful Pam is with the kids, I mean, how can you not have fun protecting and crossing the kids every morning?
And your editorial on the changes at Sharon Hospital.
Right. This is the moment where Sharon Hospital is really out there promoting the change they want to see happen with their relationship with their communities. It's such an important resource for all of us here. This is a welcome outreach, and it's great to see Mark Herko out there and everyone, you know, all the folks over at Sharon Hospital getting themselves out there to reconnect. And so we discuss it a bit and hope it continues.
All right. And turning back to pages, there's two things. From 1920, Robert Scoville of Salisbury sent his resignation to Washington as Connecticut Food Administrator. And the use of autos in this section is now impossible owing to highway conditions, and the horse is now temporarily monarch of the roads.
These pieces that Norma Galais finds for us, they're just wonderful. So read them all. There are more there.
I like that there was a superintendent of play at the high school. I love that high school students used to play back in 1920.
Play. A nice picture of that barn with the flag on it. By the way, that's a nice picture. Let's go on to the compass section. We actually have quite a bit of time left, so in the compass section.
Okay, so we have the Wissahick Project. I tend to think of the Wissahick Project as a summer thing, but it's not. And, of course, they have the wonderful restaurant, The Lantern, down there. But they've got a new show by two gentlemen from Roxbury, Ron Norsworthy and David Anthone. And they're making quilts where they put messages on matchboxes. They have, you know, hundreds of matchboxes made, and then they make quilts out of them. And they each commemorate an incident of social injustice, and so they're inflammatory, or they're quilts that ignite. So that show is open, I think, for another month. It's called Heirloom, Quilts from Another Country. And then Jenny Hansel writes about the new Emma film, and there is a period after Emma in the title, of course, based on the Jane Austen book. And we're trying to do more previews of movies so that people know when there's something out there that they should really go see. And so she talks about, for those of us who are big Jane Austen fans, all the many wonderful versions of Emma, which have been extremely diverse, from, you know, Clueless down to the classics. And so we have this new one coming out. The wonderful Bill Nighy is going to be playing the father. We've got two young actresses who have done some very quirky independent work, Mia Goth and Anya Taylor-Joy, and an unknown director who has been doing a lot of music videos and commercials and should have a beautiful style. Coulter Rule was at my house at a party once, and he said, "Oh, I just saw this movie on Turner Classic Movies," and he found a little clip of it, and we were like, "Wow, it's a newspaper called the Lakeville Sentinel." So it's a story about a tough New York City reporter who, for various reasons, has to leave the city, and he comes up to the country when he sees an ad for a small Connecticut newspaper that's for sale for $7,500, and he says, "I'm going to go up there," and he buys it, and he turns it upside down and fights injustice in the tough way that only a New York City reporter can do. And we felt very connected to this movie, so Patrick does a nice review of it. It's a really good movie. And then coming up on March 7th, George Potts, the beloved, the nicest guy, such a good musician, amazing musician, great storyteller. He's most commonly seen with the Joint Chiefs, but he's going off on his own with his friend Gordon Titcomb, who's got a really impressive resume as a musician, and they'll be at the 12 Moons Coffee House at the Center on Main in Falls Village. March 7th.
And, you know, you have a couple of ads in here, and it shows what type of area we live in. This weekend, which is in, after Valentine's Day, it's, you know, the end of February, the dregs really. And you've got Hotchkiss School at the Philharmonic with a free concert going on Saturday. You've got Weekend in Norfolk going on Saturday and Sunday at the Sharon Playhouse. It is the high school festival where five or six different high schools are presenting things at the Bach Gallery. I mean, all these organizations really do step up,
right?
And give us and folks, the things I mentioned are all free.
Yeah,
free
and high quality.
There's, you know, there's no money involved. They do it because they're part of the community. So
right, and it's perfect weather this weekend. It looks like for Weekend in Norfolk. So go and enjoy.
All right. And, of course, right now, while they're redoing their website, you can get the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com.
And the Millerton News.
And the Millerton News is there as well. They're retooling that. And once that's up, you'll hear about it. But, of course, on your newsstands and, of course, home delivery, we will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And as I said, you can find them at tricornernews.com. And you can also find them right here on Robinhood Radio every Thursday, live on Thursday morning. And then we have them on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.